Welcome to Instant Passing Hacks Part 1. I'm Hayley from Parallel Coaching, and in this video I'm going to explain about the King's Formula. So this formula is literally such a key component to helping you pass your exam. I've used this with hundreds of learners and had some really, really great results. And this is literally the thing that can make a massive difference between a pass and a fail on your exam. Regardless of the exam or the level that you're doing, you'll find that you'll be able to apply this King's Formula to it. So what we're going to cover in this video is, first of all, the common problems with multiple choice exams. We're also going to learn how to break down complex questions and practice what we call the King's Formula. Now we're going to also work out when to use this King's Formula so that you know exactly what to do and when to use it for the most effectiveness. So the first thing is to look at the common problems with multiple choice questions. I've been the founder of Parallel Coaching for the last 6 years, and we have noticed some very clear patterns in that learners often struggle with multiple choice questions, and yet they think that they're going to be easier than if they're open-ended questions, because you've actually got some suggested answers that you can use to help you recall the information. However, it can cause some confusion. So first of all, learners get distracted by the sample answers. So you've got this multiple choice question, and the question is laid out, but the sample answers underneath, that's the A, B, C, and D, can sometimes distract you away from what the question is actually asking and lead you to think all down a totally different path, or lead you to jump to assumptions. It can also lead you to misread the question. This goes without it being a multiple choice question. It could just be an open-ended question, but the problem with this in exams is that we misread that question, which actually leads to us putting the wrong answer down. We've got a couple of examples of these to go through here today in this tutorial. Also, we jump to assumptions. So let's say, for example, you've done lots and lots of mock questions, and some of the ones that come up, all the times you've redone those same mock questions, let's say you always have something come up about glucose, and when it comes up about glucose, you know the answer is always insulin. So when you see this exam question pop up and it's got glucose in the question, you jump to the conclusion that it must be insulin as the answer. Now, that happens a lot, but what I definitely want to just stress to you is that these exam questions don't come from a set pool of questions. So they can be reworded, they can be a mixture of different things. So don't assume that the question you saw in your mock papers is now the same in your exam. Make sure that you really, really read that question and don't jump to assumptions. So that's the third most common problem. The next thing is that we start accessing the wrong information from our brain. So, for example, you might look at part of the question and then go down a whole totally route in your filing cabinet of a brain and try and find where you're trying to retrieve the information, but we actually access the wrong part of the information. So we end up not answering the question effectively, or getting ourselves tangled around and around and around in circles trying to find the information in our brain. And that's that feeling of drawing a blank. You read the question, you just don't understand what it is it means. So you may have found that you have all five of these, or one specific part of these problems, when you've been doing some mock questions already. Or maybe you've even taken your exam already and now you're preparing for your resit. In which case, which of these five would you say you're most prone to? Just have a little think for a second. Is it getting distracted by the sample answers, misreading the questions, jumping to assumptions, accessing the wrong information in your brain, or just drawing a blank? Regardless of which of these five you may experience more, you're going to find that the King's Formula is really going to help you break down each question and actually read what it is that's written in front of you and actually understand what it is the question is asking from you. And this is a real key part about getting a really good grade on your exam and passing, so that you not only know the knowledge, but you also know that you're prepared in how to answer those questions. So let's introduce the King's Formula. KINGS is an acronym. So as you can see on screen, we've basically broken this acronym down as a step-by-step process for checking and understanding the question you're being asked. So it's very, very simple. So the first thing I recommend you do is that when you get into your exam, you write KINGS down on your scrap bit of paper so that you know the order to go about answering all your questions. So the first thing you need to do, notice this note at the bottom of the screen, is to first cover up the suggested answers of that question. So once you cover up that suggested answers, you don't want to see them, you don't want to let them get you confused, so cover them up so you're just reading the question. And then you need to extract the key words from the question. We're going to do a few examples of this in just a moment. And once you've extracted those keywords, you want to ask yourself, what do you know about those keywords? So this is the I. So K stands for keyword. I stands for what do I know about those keywords? So not me, but you. What do you know about those keywords you've just extracted? N is the necessity. So you read the question again and you ask yourself, what does it really need me to know? What's the necessity of this question? What is it really needing me to understand? Then you take a guess and then you reveal the sample answers so that you're able to then extract the exact answer from there. You may find your guess is in those sample answers. So first of all, you need to cover up your suggested answers. Let's have a look at this in practice. So we've got the KINGS formula written down so that we can use this throughout. So first of all, here is your question. This is a level 3 anatomy mock question. I wanted to make it one that's a little bit wordy, but nothing really, really complex. So you've got a question that pops up and you're reading this in your exam or in your mock questions, and you're looking at it and you know which of the following forms the inferior aspect of the inner core unit. A little bit wordy. So you extract the keywords to start off with. So in this case, that's inferior and inner core unit. The rest are sort of padding words. They're ones that give you context, but inferior and inner core unit are your main keywords. So then you ask yourself, what do I know about those keywords? So you can look at inferior to start off with and you go, okay, well, what does inferior mean? It means the lowest part. So you've got superior means the most upper part. Inferior means the lowest part of. And then what do I know about the inner core unit? So you have a little brainstorm and you think, well, about the inner core unit, I know there's four muscles in the inner core unit, the diaphragm, the multifidus, the TVA, and the pelvic floor. So then you read the question again. Now this is N, this is your necessity. So you read the question again, which of the following forms the inferior aspect of the inner core unit? So what is it really asking me? It's asking me which is the lowest of those muscles that are in my inner core unit. So you kind of reword the question so it makes sense to you. Now, of the ones that I've listed, you can now take a guess based on the information you've just extracted. So if I was to take a guess, I'd say probably the pelvic floor is the lowest of those four. So you remember we had diaphragm, TVA, multifidus, and then pelvic floor. Pelvic floor was the lowest one of those. So that's my guess. And then I need to reveal my sample answers and have a look. So I look through, go A, well, a rectus spinae isn't even one of the inner core unit. Diaphragm, that is one, but I know it's the uppermost, so it's not going to be that. External obliques isn't one of my inner core unit. And pelvic floor is the lowest one. I'm going to go with D. And it helps you give a lot of clarity to your questions and break down that question so you can really take your time. So hopefully you followed along with that. We're going to do another example and I want you to lead the way on this one. So the next example is, which of the following is not a plane of movement? So which of the following is not a plane of movement? First of all, which are the keywords? Take your time, find the keywords now. So I've got not is a keyword because we know which one is not a plane of movement. And then we also need to know what a plane of movement is. So the keyword, what are the planes of movement that you know about? So what do you know about the planes of movement? So you might go, I know there's three. I know it's sagittal, frontal, and transverse. So you go, I know there's three. You might not even be able to extract all that information, but you go, I know there's three. I know it's sagittal and transverse. I can't remember the other one. That's okay. Just have a brainstorm around it. And then necessity, read that question again. Which of the following is not a plane of movement? Okay, so we're going to have a list and I've got to choose which one isn't part of the three planes of movement. So then you want to take a guess, and you're going, okay, well, it's going to be something that isn't a plane movement. Maybe that's hard for me to guess when it's a not answer, but I'm looking for it to not be something to do with frontal, sagittal, and transverse. It can't be those because they are a plane of movement. So then I reveal the answers, and I've got frontal, longitudinal, sagittal, and transverse. So I go back through, and I'm like, well, it's got to be B because all of the other three are planes of movement. And there you go with B. So I hope this makes sense in terms of the kings, but it really, really, even in the most toughest questions, allows you to break them down and slow it down. So practice this. This is your next step. Go away and practice, practice, practice. The more you practice the king's formula, the quicker you will get and the easier it becomes. It's kind of like learning to ride a bike. When you first started out, you needed someone there holding the stable and holding you stable, and it took a little while, even with stabilizers. It was a little bit of a slow process. You had to keep referring to tips and tricks and really thinking about what you're doing. But the more you practiced, the more you were confident to then take the stabilizers off and go eventually go faster. And it's exactly the same with the King's formula. In that the more you practice, the quicker you'll get at it and the easier it will become. So download the mock questions. These are in each of your areas. So if you're doing level 3 anatomy and physiology, the mock questions are in the exclusive bonuses. So go and find those, download them, and use that to help practice the kings, even on the easiest of the questions. So when do you use it? First of all, as much as possible. So you can never use it too much. So you can even use it on the really easy questions. You'll probably find that on the easy ones, you get really fast at using kings. You almost don't have to write each step down. It just happens really quickly. You end up extracting the keywords and having a guess before you even look at the answers. You're like, yes, I've done kings, but very quickly. And then the next thing, other than using the easy ones, is to, on exam day, take your time and then start using it on those harder ones later on. So on exam day, this is the sequence I recommend you do. Start the exam at question one. If it's easy, answer it then and there. Then go through each question. If it feels like a hard question, then skip it. If you're a little bit confused by it, skip it. But remember to go back to it, and also remember to match your answer sheet number to the question number. You definitely want to make sure that if it's question three on your question sheet, then it's question three on your answer sheet. Make sure that if you skip it, you leave space for those. Once you've completed all the easy ones, it gives you a lot of confidence, and you know how much time you've already used and how much time you've got left. So you can then go back to the harder ones, and they're the ones where you definitely should apply the King's formula. Really take your time to go through it, and you'll probably find that it makes even the hardest of questions much, much easier. And that is the King's formula, which brings us to the end of part one. We've looked at the common problems in multiple choice exams. We've learned how to break down complex questions. We've used the King's formula and practiced it. And we also now know when to use the King's formula. So this is the first part of the instant passing hacks, totally complete. What you need to do now is go and practice the King's formula and then come back and look at the next part of this instant passing hacks. And this is the brain dump, which is going to really, really help you prepare and also put stress and anxiety to one side during your exam. So I look forward to seeing you on the next video, which is all about the brain dump. Thank you so much for joining me for part one of the instant passing hacks.